Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
The New Testament is clear that Christians have a higher obligation to love other Christians than they do unbelievers. Now, that's not to say that we don't have an obligation to love unbelievers as well. We certainly do. The Bible teaches us to love our neighbor as ourself and makes clear that our neighbor is anybody that God puts into our life. The parable of the Good Samaritan makes that abundantly clear. The Bible even commands us to love our enemies. And so if we are commanded to love our enemies, we are certainly commanded to love anyone who is less than an enemy, and that would include all people, saved and unsaved. But the Bible repeatedly tells us that we have a special obligation to the people of God. It's not unlike the teaching that God loves his people more than he loves others. That may come as a shock to some, but that is actually what the Bible teaches. Now, some have taken that to an erroneous extreme to say that God only loves his people. He doesn't love unbelievers, and that would really be shocking to the world in which we live today that has this false teaching that is almost universally accepted, namely that God loves everybody alike. Well, that's not true, but it is true that God loves everybody. He loves unbelievers to a lesser degree than he loves believers. And so he sets the example for us in this. God loves his children with a higher level of love than he loves the unbeliever, but he loves the unbeliever as well. Christians, therefore, are to follow his example. Christians are to love Christians with a higher commitment to love than our love for the unbeliever, though we are to love the unbeliever as well. So that's where we're going on this Thursday, October 10, as you join me for another edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and as you help me financially maintain this Bible teaching ministry on this station. Well, here it is in 1 Peter 2:17. Remember, there are four requirements here, four commands. That's right, they're all commands, imperatives. Commands, number one, honor all people. Number two, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. There it is. We are under divine command to love the people of God, to love our fellow Christians, to love those who are loved with a special love by God himself. Somebody has said that you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your relatives. How true that is. And what does that mean? Well, for most people, that means that we have to make some concessions to learn to get along with relatives that we don't really like all that much, but we learn to get along in order to not create conflict within the family. We didn't choose our relatives, but we're stuck with them, so to speak. So we'll have to learn to, you know, live and let live, get along together. Maybe not make them our closest friends. We don't necessarily do that. We aren't obligated to do that, but we recognize that we do have an obligation to at least get along with them when we get together for family reunions and family gatherings of one kind and another. That's the only decent thing to do. That's the only right thing to do. No, we didn't choose them, but they were chosen for us, and so let's make the best of it. Let's get along with them. Let's work at it. Let's make those special efforts. And then when it comes to our friends, we can choose who we want to spend extra time with, the people that we really enjoy being around. Well, there's a measure of truth in that statement. But the statement not only applies to our earthly relatives, our blood relatives and those who've married into our family, but even more so, it applies to the family of God. We don't choose the members of Christ's body, but we are under command to love every one of them. And frankly, some of them are difficult to get along with, but that's not my call. I don't get to choose them or reject them. I don't get to decide whether I will get along with this one or not, or whether I will just avoid them. That's not my call. I don't get that choice. They're my relatives, having been placed in the same family that I'm in. God, in his grace, brought me into the family of God. Well, God, in his grace, brought them into the family of God, too. They may not have been the ones I would have chosen, but I wasn't the one doing the choosing. God is. And you see, God delights in saving those who are the most unlovely and unlikely. And many of God's children have a long road of sanctification ahead of them yet. They can be very difficult, particularly at the beginning of their Christian sojourn. And all the more reason, therefore, for us to obey the command of God and love them, which is not, as you know, you've heard this on the broadcast before, is not a command regarding how we feel about them. It's a command regarding how we act toward them. Agape love is not emotional primarily. It is volitional. It's an act of the will. It is intentional. It is active. It is intentionally doing deeds of loving kindness because that's what we are supposed to do. That's how God loved us. When God loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, not because we were lovely or lovable, but because God is love. And love requires appropriate action. It requires doing what is needed for the loved object. And so God loved the world and gave his only begotten Son. And we are to love the brotherhood and do what is needed to help them and to demonstrate our love for them, even those that are hard to get along with. I know. Sometimes you have to bite your tongue. Sometimes you have to grab yourself by the collar, so to speak, and march yourself over to do the thing that you know you need to do, even though within you your emotions are saying, but I don't want to, I don't want to, I don't want to, I don't want to. But whoever said that living the Christian life was a matter of doing what we want to do or what we feel like doing? We know better than that. We know better than that. I've said it before, and it certainly isn't original with me. I heard it somewhere, but I will repeat it again at this time. Here goes. To live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. To live below with saints we know, now that's another story. And yes, it is indeed. But the same requirement is there. We are to live below with saints we know in a loving relationship. That's what we are commanded to do. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. There's a higher obligation even than to honor. To love the brotherhood, that is Christian brothers, can be nothing less than honoring them. Remember what honoring means? Honor all people. Respect them, value them, esteem them, be courteous to them, be respectful to them. Don't treat them with scorn, contempt, or telegraph disapproval about them. Well, the same thing applies to Christians, as applies to all people, with now even a higher responsibility, which is to actively help them, actively associate with them for Christ's sake, actively show an interest in their welfare, and do deeds of loving kindness to them to let them know of your loving concern for them. Love the brotherhood. And that, too, is a demonstration before a watching world. Remember, this is a summary of all that has gone before. And one of the things that went before is that we are to conduct ourselves in such a way that the world will note that we are Christians. They will see a difference in us compared to those who don't know the Lord and don't profess to know the Lord. Having your conduct, we read in verse 12, honorable among the Gentiles, that they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God. And here's one of the things we are to do in that regard. The first one is to honor all people, and the second one is to love the brotherhood. And this is only reinforcing what Jesus himself said when he said to his disciples, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." And Jesus told us that we love him, or we demonstrate our love for him by keeping his commandments, and this is one of them. It is his commandment that we love our Christian brother. We are to love our Christian brother as much as we love ourselves. Let each esteem other better than himself. Now that's a tough assignment. It goes against old Adam. It sure does it for me. I'm sure it does for you. That's a tough assignment. But Christ doesn't give us any obligation that he doesn't also give us the resources to obey it. And so we can do it by God's help. We certainly can't do it in ourselves, but we can do it with the aid of the Holy Spirit who indwells every true Christian. We can do it if we submit ourselves to this requirement of God and commit ourselves to obeying it with God's help and strength. We can do it if we will humble ourselves before the throne of God and ask him to give us the help we need to carry out this requirement, which we at times find to be very difficult. And if we would do this, I wonder how many church fights and splits would disappear. I don't think there'd be too many left. Certainly, there wouldn't be any left except those that are truly based upon biblical truth and clear scriptural principle. And in that case, it's cowardly not to stand up and contend for the faith once delivered for the saints. But so many of the squabbles, as you well know, in churches, have nothing to do with the gospel, nothing to do with the inspiration of scripture, nothing to do with the denial of the Christian faith, but everything to do with Christians who are acting like spoiled brats and can't get along with one another. And these first two commandments in verse 17 would eliminate those problems completely. Number one, honor all people, including that person in the church that you don't agree with. And number two, love the brotherhood, including that sister in the church that you just don't care for at all. Well, there are our marching orders. Let us go forth and do what Christ commands. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.